A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted in him, and built upon him, and established in the faith as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one captivate you with an empty, seductive philosophy, according to the tradition of men, according to the elemental powers of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells the whole fullness of the deity bodily, and you share in this fullness in him, who is the head of every principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not administered by hand, by stripping off the carnal body, with the circumcision of Christ. You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross, despoiling the principalities and the powers. He made a public spectacle of them, leading them away in triumph by it. The word of the Lord. The first sentence in this passage is a wonderful summary of the entire letter, really, from this chapter on until toward the end of chapter 4. So I'd like to look at some of the different phrases today. It's the verses before this, Paul is talking about the same thing. He's strengthening them in their faith, but he uses military imagery, as in order and being steadfast and firm and solid. And so he gives the image of presenting a solid front of soldiers ready for battle, ready to defend the wall of faith. And from this, then, this imagery of steadfastness, he's going to go in even deeper. So he says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. There's almost a hint of baptism in here, and he actually mentions baptism in the passage we just read farther on. It's something that they received, not merely in a subjective way of receiving Jesus in their hearts, but objectively they received him through the grace of the sacrament of baptism, and they entered into the household of the faith, the ecclesia, the church. So there was something objective that they could hold on to. And even more, it was a personal relationship because they were baptized into Jesus, into Christ Jesus the Lord. And this is also an early baptismal or confessional formula, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's a personal relationship with the Lord. And so how are we going to live this baptismal life? Paul gives us four metaphors: walking in him, being rooted in him, being built upon him, and being established. N.T. Wright, the popular and famous Anglican bishop, in England, who is also a scripture scholar, says it must be quite amusing, and probably was to Paul himself, to think of something being rooted and yet walking around and being built up. But actually, they all have something in common with that military image I mentioned before. There's the idea of solidity, of steadfastness, of being rooted. The Jewish idea of walking meant your way of life, your behavior. And in another passage, Paul says, walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. So our behavior is our way of walking each day, taking each day as it comes and striving to grow deeper and deeper in the Lord. Then being rooted, that reminds us of a tree or a plant, something that sends its roots deep into the soil to grab onto it so that it can be solid and not pushed over by the first wind of storm or doubt that comes. Then Paul gives us the image of being built up, being built like a house or a building that must have a strong foundation. Again, another image of solid roots. Living here in the southern part of the United States, we're apt to have tornadoes or hurricanes. And so these images of being rooted in, built upon, established, sinking down those pillars into the soil to find the bedrock, these all are wonderful images that we live every fall when we start worrying about a hurricane. And for example, the trees that are deeply rooted usually don't fall over. They may break, but they don't fall over with their roots sticking out of the ground. That's more for the oak trees. The oak trees will just fall right over because their roots are very shallow. But the pine tree has a deep, long taproot that is hard to get up. And so that's what we want our faith to be, like a tree that sinks its roots down, that we may sway with the storm, but we will never be uprooted. Jesus Christ is our root, our source of life and nourishment and strength. The same thing with hurricanes and houses and buildings. Are they built solid, or are they just flimsy wooden things that people use for the weekend to be at the golf? There are houses down in Galveston, Texas, that have outlived every hurricane for the last 100 years. In fact, some of them withstood the terrible hurricane of 1906 that totally disseminated the island and made it look like a sand dune and killed over 6,000 people. And yet some of those solid buildings are still standing, still being lived in. So we want to hold fast and be established in our faith that we have received in the sacrament of baptism, received from the community of faith. And our roots should be deep and sunk in the earth of this faith. Our roots and our faith go back for over 2,000 years. It's not built on the latest ideas. And finally, he says that you should abound in thanksgiving. And of course, we know that the Greek word for thanksgiving is Eucharistia. The greatest thanksgiving is the thanksgiving of Christ in the Eucharist. So, what can we do during this year of faith, during these last couple of months, before the year of faith concludes. What can we do to deepen our faith or to help bring back a relative or friend who has lost their faith or is wandering about confused in our secular and consumerist world? I would just suggest three things: prayer, acts of faith, and the Eucharist. Prayer is a way we can deepen our faith. In a sense, every gesture, every desire for prayer is faith itself, is an act of faith, the believing that there is a loving God, a loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who is hearing us and wants to help us. So we can pray for ourselves, pray for others. Prayer is the greatest thing we can do. And then acts of faith. Tell the Lord we believe him, even though it's difficult. To exercise our mind and our heart in believing the revealed truths that we have from the Scriptures and what has been handed down from the apostles to this very day. And this is also what St. Paul is talking about, the faith that has been handed down for 2,000 years. And finally, to take part in the Eucharist, to become Eucharist, to be a thankful person. This should be one of the chief characteristics of Christians, to overflow in thanksgiving for all that God has done in Jesus Christ, for coming to us, giving us a new life, and calling all people, offering all people a chance to share in this new life. So as the days and months ebb away in this year of faith, it's never too late to reactivate ourselves, to commit ourselves more deeply to the new evangelization, to the sharing of our faith, so that it may grow stronger and deeper. Amen.